We're actually on the fifth Sunday, the last weekend of our sermon series, When God Leaves the Building. And so God is in the house now, but God's work is, like I said, it's out there in the world. And we started this sermon series clear back on the first weekend of January. And what we learned then was that God left the perfection of heaven in order to become the Word made flesh among us in the person of Jesus Christ. And then we talked about how Jesus left the safety and the security of synagogues and temples in order to be with people and to reach out and touch people whom others might have considered untouchable. And then we watched as Jesus' disciples went and did the same thing that he did. For instance, last week we talked about how Paul went to Athens, Greece, probably the most pagan and the most Gentile city that ever existed, probably on par with some of our cities today. And Paul did not condemn them. He was not hostile towards them. He brought the message to them in a way that they could hear. And is a great model for us about how we might approach the world outside our walls. And this week we're going to talk about another one of the apostles, the Apostle Peter, who began to minister to the new churches that were springing up. And it was really as a result of people like Paul. Before Paul was Paul, he was Saul, and Saul was a persecutor of the church. And he went into synagogues in Jerusalem and around Jerusalem, and he kicked the Christians out and even oversaw some of their deaths. And as a result of that, the people began to scatter. That wasn't their intention to spread the church at that point, but that's what it did, because when they scattered, they took the gospel with them and they started new churches wherever they went. And so Peter decided that he was going to go and he was going to minister to some of these churches. And so we read that in his first trip, he went to a place called Lydia, which was about 12 miles from the Mediterranean coast. And from there, he went to a place called Joppa. And that's the setting for our story today. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which is Greek for Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, Please come to us without delay. So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, Tabitha, get up. Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. So when God goes to Joppa, miraculous things happen. The dead are raised to new life. Now, of course, that happened a couple of weeks ago when God went to Nain. Now, some of you will remember Pastor Brian preached that weekend about how when Jesus went to this little town with his disciples, they ran into a funeral procession of a young man, a widow's only son, and Jesus raised him to new life. And so we decided what text we were going to preach on probably 9 or 10 months ago. And so when I read this text, the story that we just read about Peter at the beginning of the week, I thought, what were we thinking? Why did we decide to have two resurrection texts right basically almost back to back? And so I fretted about it for about a minute, and then I remembered one of the great facts about preaching, and that is that you can never, ever go wrong with a resurrection story. Always, always good. So, and that reminded me of another one of my favorite stories. Some of you have probably heard me tell this story, but it never gets old. About a young minister who was called upon to do his very first funeral, and he was anxious, and he didn't know what to say, and so he decided to go and read the Gospels and see what Jesus said when he went to a funeral. I thought, that ought to give me some good clues as to what I should do. So he read through all the Gospels, and what he discovered was that every time Jesus went to a funeral, it turned into a resurrection. Every single time. You can check for that yourself. So the first time I heard that story, I thought to myself, Well, I know who I want to invite to my funeral. You probably want him at your funeral too, I would imagine. If there's anything that we learn about in the Gospels, it is that God brings life out of death. God enters into the darkest and scariest times of our lives, and he brings light and hope. So we see that in the life of Jesus, and we see that in his ministry, and then we see that in the life and ministry of his disciples. So we shouldn't be surprised when God calls us to do the same, to enter into the darkness and the pain and the grief of others in our world. Unfortunately, however, that isn't always easy for us, and it doesn't always come naturally to us. I don't know how many times I have seen people sit at home alone, in desperate need of friendship, in desperate need of ministry, because even their closest friends don't know what to say or don't know what to do, and so they don't do anything. It happens all the time. And I have to say that I understand, because even somebody who's extroverted like me and who has kind of a pastoral sense about them has felt this way and still feels this way occasionally. The first time this really came home to me, I was recently graduated from seminary, and I went to serve a church in Dayton, Ohio as an associate pastor alongside this old gray-haired senior minister who I now realize was exactly as old as I am now. Seemed like an old man to me at the time. And I was a youth minister, and I would preach once a month. He was really pretty generous for letting me preach that much. And so one day we were standing in the secretary's office early morning on a weekday morning, and a phone call came in. Older couple from our congregation had a 17-year-old grandson, had been killed in a motorcycle accident. And as I'm hearing what's going on the other side of the phone, I'm thinking to myself, I am so glad I am the associate minister and not the senior pastor right now. About the time I'm thinking that, Ted, who is my senior minister, looks at me and says, David, why don't you handle this one? And I must have had the deer in the headlights kind of look, because he said, don't worry, I'll walk you through this, I'll help you out, and he did. And so the next thing I know, I'm driving up to visit with the family. And I didn't know, I'd never met his parents or his brothers and sisters or his aunts and uncles. The only ones I knew were his grandparents. So I get to the neighborhood where they live, and I drove up to the house, and there were all kinds of cars. I don't know how many cars that were there. They must have all come when they heard about the accident. And I drove up to the house, and then I just drove right past it. And I drove around the block, and I came in, and I drove up to the house again, and I drove right past it. And I don't know how many times I did that. I was so anxious about entering into this, what must have been just unimaginable grief and loss, and not really feeling adequate for it, and not feeling like I had the right words to say or any words to say. I don't remember much about the visit itself. I do remember that I got everybody together and we had a prayer. So that was one of the things my senior pastor told me to do, and I did. And we made some preliminary plans for the funeral. But what I remember best is it didn't really matter what I said. The fact that I showed up, they were so glad to see me. I mean, I wouldn't have guessed that. I don't know what I would have thought, but they were, that somebody from the church. And what else I realized at that point was that I represented something more than just myself. I represented the church. I represented the light of God and the promise of resurrection and new life, all of that. And as a result of that visit and kind of getting past that first barrier that was really a barrier inside of me, I was never and have never been afraid of making a visit like that again. Over the years, I've learned that people are most open to hearing the gospel when they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, whether it be their own or somebody that they love. That's when they're gonna hear it. They might be angry with God. That's okay. You can still witness to them. You can still be the face of Jesus Christ. They might just be desperate for a word of hope, but either way, it becomes an opportunity for us to enter into their into their pain and their grief and their loss, and to be love, to be the face of love for them. And it's powerful. And the really good news, especially for some of you who are a little more introverted, is you don't have to memorize any magical phrases or words or anything. In fact, sometimes the best thing you can do is not to say anything at all. There's a beautiful example of this in the Old Testament. The book of Job. You're probably familiar with Job's story. The book starts off with him losing everything. In fact, all of his children are together in a house celebrating a party or something like that, and the house literally falls in on them, and they all die. So, I mean, he loses everything, his livelihood, his family, his health, all at once. And it says that three of his best friends show up at his house, and they sit with him for 7 days in complete silence. Beautiful, beautiful image of what we can do for each other. Sometimes it doesn't require any words at all. In fact, they don't stop being helpful until the eighth day, when they decide it's time for them to try to explain to him why this all happened. Then they stop being helpful. But that's how it works. We read in Scripture that when Peter arrived in Joppa, they'd already laid Tabitha out, and they were having basically a memorial service for her. They were grieving, they were weeping and moaning, and they take Peter right up to the room. He was that one coming, representing something more than just himself. And what he does then is amazing, but it's not without precedent. Because if you're familiar with the Gospels, as you're reading this, you may be thinking, this reminds me of another story. And it should, because the story that it reminds me of is a time a couple of years earlier when a man named Jairus, a leader in the synagogue, had come to Jesus and said, "You need to come. My daughter is sick unto death, and by the time they get there, she's gone." And they've got her laid out in a room just like they did Tabitha. And Jesus takes Peter, James, and John. So Peter was there, witnessed all this. And Jesus sends everybody from the room, and he says a prayer, and he takes the little girl by the hand, and he says, "Daughter, get up." She does. And what does Peter do in this case? He goes, he sends everybody out, he kneels down and he says a prayer, and he takes her by the hand, and he says almost the exact same words. He says, "Tabitha, get up." And she does. And she is raised to new life. You and I may never have an opportunity to do that. Not too many people being resurrected from the dead that I've seen lately. Not saying that couldn't happen. I think with God all things are possible, but probably not going to happen. But that doesn't mean that we don't have an opportunity to represent the light and the life of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And it isn't just pastors. It's all of us. It's every one of us. If it's just up to us, if it's just up to me and Pastor Brian and Kathy and the others it's not going to happen. It's not going to, that presence isn't going to be felt in the community. It's not going to be felt in your families if we're not all doing it. We all have to do it. This past week, Pastor Brian and I went to a minister's institute up at our conference center in Newton. There was a speaker there by the name of Andrew Root, and he told, his whole week, our retreat was really kind of about this idea that I'm talking about right now, about being with people out there in the world in difficult times. So he tells a story about a study that he was doing in preparation for a book. And he was doing interviews with people. And he was in Seattle, Washington. And he interviewed a woman there, a 31-year-old single mother. And she came in, and he had this series of questions. And right away, he could tell that she was guarded and she really wasn't into this and she wasn't wanting to share much. And so they went through the questions really quick. And he finally got to the last question. And he went ahead and asked her the question anyway. And the question was this: has there ever been a time when you really felt ministered to, when you felt the presence of God in that experience? And all of a sudden, her demeanor changed, and she said yes. And she says, "I've never told this story to anyone, but I'm going to tell you what happened." And she said, "You didn't ask why I'm a single mother, but I'm going to tell you that too." She said, "A couple of years ago, my husband went on a business trip to Chicago. He'd been there for a couple of days when I got a call from Chicago police saying that he had died of a massive heart attack in his hotel room, and I needed to come to Chicago and identify the body." And she said everything after that was a blur. She was drowning in grief, but she had all of these things she had to do. So she got her mother to come and watch the kids. She got to, somehow she got her bags packed and got to the airport and flew to Chicago. And when she got there, she was met by this really kind taxi cab driver that made sure that she got from airport to the hospital, and he got parked, and she said all of this was kind of a blur up to this point, and made sure she got in okay. And she said they must have been expecting her because they took her immediately back to a room where they had laid out his body on a gurney covered in a white sheet. And again, in this just kind of the blur of grief and pain, she went in there, and she's standing there, and they're just about ready to pull that white sheet back when she felt a hand on her shoulder. And then another hand came around her with a bottle of water, and it was the taxi cab driver. And she said, in that moment, she felt God's presence. She felt ministered to in a way that she hadn't ever expected, and it wasn't a pastor, and it wasn't a priest. It was a Chicago cab driver that did that for her. Anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. But you can't stay at home, and you can't stay at church if you're going to do it. You've got to get out there in the real world, in the lives of real people. And there are going to be opportunities. You're going to have opportunities if you're not too afraid to step over that barrier, that border that's probably in your own mind, and do it. We can become that bright light for others when their world becomes dark. Scripture that we started clear back at the beginning, first weekend of January, was, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things came into being through Him. And it goes on from there, and it says, in Him was life, and that life was the light of the world. It was the light of all people. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And what we saw in Jesus' life was that He took that light into the world. Even death couldn't stand against Him. His disciples did the same thing. Therefore, it shouldn't surprise us when we receive that call to go and to be the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world. Let us pray. Lord, You have called us to be more than we sometimes feel capable of. And I know all of us are thinking of times when we could have helped and didn't because we were afraid. We confess that and ask for strength to be open to Your love and to being a conduit of Your love the next time we have an opportunity. Guide and direct us that we might be and share the good news of Jesus Christ, for we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.